First case in our calendar is 97-2443, and I support Mr. Roger Tracy, Tax Commissioner, Mr. Clevenger.
Thank you, Chief Justice Moore. I'd like to reserve my name to the What I'd like to do is just a little bit of background on the actual facts of this case. The Integrated Resource Report is the main of the production of various enterprises located here in Columbus. The issue involved in this case is whether during that manufacturing operation certain items which are used by the United Resource are exempt from the protection of use tax. And of course, in this case, we have a situation where there was a substantial change in the law which occurred in 1990. So we have a basis for essentially receiving under the old law prior to 1990 and under the new law which is subsequent to 1990. The only issue involved in this particular appeal is the manufacturing operation associated with the production of bottles of beer. And very briefly, as the beer is placed into the bottle, and the bottle is pasteurized, the cabin is pasteurized, and subsequent to that operation, the bottle then goes through a couple of different operations, which involve the items which are in here today.
One of them is a video jet coating machine. Is that right?
That's correct.
Is a video jet coating machine something that I see on television where they talk about something like a born-on date? Does that put the born-on date on it?
It's very similar.
Well, how is that part of the manufacturing process that the consumer needs to know what the born-on date is for manufacturing purposes?
Well, the video jet coating machine acts on the product that's being manufactured. The video jet coating machine applies an ink code to the bottle, which indicates the location where the bottle of beer was produced, indicates the time, indicates the particular line. In the event there appears to be a problem later on, there will be a recall or whatever, they can identify it.
But other than identifying it, it doesn't have anything to do with the product or its manufacturer, does it?
Well, it needs to be sent as part of the product. I mean, the video jet code is actually applied to the bottle.
What is it? Is that drink? Is it Budweiser?
Well, it could be Budweiser.
Could you drink the beer without having a born-on date or a label?
Well,
it's in its final form, isn't it?
I suspect that's correct. It's still, I mean, it's still part of the product and considered to be the other items, in addition to the video jet coating machine, which are the subject of this appeal, are the, there's a, an item called the tax and bottle room system. The bottle room system, of course, drives the outside of the bottle after it goes through pasteurization process and then the condensation, and then allows the label to be attached to the bottle, which identifies the type of beer which is being used in the bottle. And the tax and bottle room system and the aluminum roller, which are part of the label,
it seems the product is saleable at that time, it's converted to, the process has converted it to beer, saleable. You just need the next step in order to market it, but it is a marketable product. Is that a legitimate distinction?
I would respectfully say no, because if you own a grocery store, of course, whether it's a bottle of pop or a bottle of beer or anything like that, you go to a grocery store, you buy a bottle of that particular type of beverage, you don't just say, I want a bottle of pop or a soda or whatever. So I don't believe they can have a marketable product until the label is attached and clearly identifies what the product is. I mean, it's not like
you can't market it. Well, I suppose you're not going to market it without a label.
I don't know. But I don't believe it is marketable without a label. It's literally part of the product, which is being manufactured as part of the product.
But as you well know, the statute and the cases speak about the processing that changes the product into its form. It doesn't seem to be focusing on the selling of it. It seems to focus on the processing of it and its change. Isn't that really what the marketable means in those cases?
Well, marketable means a product which eventually is going to be sold. And I respectfully submit that it is impossible to sell an item like a container of beverage without identifying what that container is and what kind of beverage it is. So that I believe marketable product would encompass the application of a label, and that would still continue to be part of manufacturing. And this marketable product concept, then perhaps the court is more concerned with future application than it is under the law. But the marketable product concept has been carried over into the new sales and use tax manufacturing exemption. If you review the definition of what constitutes a completed product under the new law, it becomes clear, in my opinion, that the completed product in the manufacturing of the United States is a saleable and marketable bottle of beer.
If your stronger argument is that this label and the marking on the bottle is part of the packaging,
I would agree that I do believe that it is a strong argument, but I also think a bigger strong argument exists that the labeling process is also the final stages of the manufacturing operation, particularly under the new law.
So you think that the bottling also is a part of the manufacturing process?
Yes, I clearly think that bottling the beverage, whether it's bottling on a can line, whether the beverage is turned into a can or into a keg or into a bottle, which was the subject of the newer tax agency, I clearly believe that is part of the manufacturing process. And support for that is found even in the tax commissioner's information releases, when the packaging exemption was suspended back in 1998, the tax commissioner issued the information that stated clearly that placing beverages into a bottle was still manufactured. And the items used for that same version of the manufacturing store is there. But the bottle is part of the product, it's a component of the product. So I think that the manufacturing information.
If the label was placed on the bottle prior to the beverage going in, then it certainly would be part of the bottle. There could be no argument as if it's any case.
I believe that's probably the case. I don't think this would be occurring to the court, because I think at least under the reasoning for it, probably the way they tested that. The fact is that it was placed on the bottle after the beer was placed in the bottle after the pasteurization process occurred. But what I want to emphasize is the language in the definition of a completed product, which is contained in the exemption. And that is an item completed when all processes are changed over its state or form, which is the typical manufacturing language which are used even in the firewall. The definition of something for enhanced value. Well, I would protect the virgin. The bottle is not saleable. It doesn't have any value unless someone can identify what it is, what contents are. So therefore, it can't be valued. It's extremely important. And it does, in fact, change the state of form. Now, you may say it's placing a label, but it changes the state of form. So it doesn't combine two products in the final product, which is being manufactured by the company. I'd like to talk a little bit about the packaging exemption, because I believe that the board committed a serious error in its analysis of the packaging exemption. The board did follow with respect to two other operations, which were nearly identical except they involved different containers, that the packaging system was a completely automated and integrated packaging system. In fact, there were certain items used in connection with bottling that were placing the beer and cans in the keg. Were part of that system, were physically attached to the packaging line, they were therefore exempt. But then when the board reached a decision regarding the bottle line, it started to segregate various items, saying, well, this doesn't appear to be part of the packaging. And I would respectfully submit that there is an inconsistency in the board's decision as to what constitutes an automated and integrated packaging system. In its decision that in respect to bottle lines, certain items were not necessarily part of the packaging line. They were physically connected, everything was interconnected, everything acted automatically. As the bottle and the can and the cake went through these various processes. But the board found that with respect to the bottle line, these particular items were not part of the packaging system. I honestly don't understand how the board can reach that conclusion. The two perhaps most significant cases that have been decided by this court dealing with packaging exemption are the Melody Hawthorne case and the Kroger case. And in both of those cases, the court found that where you have a completely automated and integrated packaging system with all the various components of those systems are exempt from sales and use tax because they are used in packaging a product for sale. And I don't think there is any distinction whatsoever between the facts of this appeal and the facts that they were presented in both Melody Hawthorne and in the Procom case.
Thank you, Mr. Closer. Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chief Justice, and please the court. If you accept the anti-conclusion argument in this case, you have essentially read out the packaging exception. Also, the anti-conclusion argument that the bottle is labeled
but doesn't the final pasteurization take place after it's already in the bottle and capped?
The pasteurization doesn't take place at that point.
Doesn't that convert its form?
It converts the form of the beer. It doesn't change the bottle into anything other than a container. The fact that you may do something, test something, a product after it's been put into package, doesn't somehow make that package part of the manufacturing product. It was and still is packaged. That bottle, can, and so forth, are plastic. It never was packaged.
You then admitted that the labeling process is the packaging
process? No, no.
That's exactly what you said. If we accept their first proposition, we read out the packaging section. Therefore, it must be part of the packaging to read out the packaging section.
No, what I'm saying is that when you're looking at the container, what you have to look at the label is placed on the container.
But if you say if we accept their proposition, proposition on the label, we read out the packaging inspection, and aren't you admitting it's packaging?
No, no, I'm not. What I'm saying is, those items, whether or not they are exempt or not,
broad-based.
Package.
Exempt.
material, and the machinist puts material in the package.
So we start out when we manufacture something, and we package it on this end, but somewhere in between, the tax commission wants to drive a little wedge in and say, aha, during this process, in between manufacture and packaging, in the same plant, we're doing a couple of things that just don't fit. We have a tax system. Now, does that make sense to you?
I believe it is, because the General Assembly provided that's been a law for 40, 50 years in the manufacturing area, that you have an exemption for things that you carry in the manufacturing process. And you then have an exemption for packaging. This is where it's repeated that material that, for instance, transports the finished product to the area where it's packaged is not assembled. You just look at what exactly you in the packaging process. It has to be an item that is essential to the packaging process.
And so your view is flying labels, two products. I assume you don't deny that you wouldn't go into a grocery store and buy an unmarked bottle of beer.
No, but as Lot makes point out, putting a label on something clearly is for purposes of marketing. Or like the court also said, but it is not part of the package.
I think I did something
wrong, but I believe
it is. If the label is required for safety purposes, aren't they covered? Still, the same result.
That's correct. And for the same way you just saw that the fact that it may be required for certain safety or federal purposes does not entitle to an exemption. And the fact that the General Assembly decides what is the exemption taxation, and they have decided not to grant exemptions for certain safety purposes.
Well,
again, on the ice point down,
is it possible that you think about this?
I don't think that's possible because this issue has come up too often over too long a period of time. And 5739-01 and 02 have been implemented too many times.
So has there been some bills that specifically deal with this that's been seized?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't know that anybody has raised a concern about it.
Okay. So as far as we know, the General Assembly has thought about it.
I don't think that is correct. I think it's the fact that nobody has gone to take a position that this is an erroneous application of statutory change. I don't believe the General Assembly has not thought of it too many times to consider the manufacturing exception and the tax exception.
So it would be all right from your conversation that if they did this process before the pasteurization, it'd be okay.
No, I would disagree with that, Your Honor. I think you have to distinguish the package from the manufactured product. The manufactured product is the beer.
Where in the process could this be done to be allowed?
The specific items we have here, I don't think it could ever be exempted because there is no provision that exempts this type of activity. You're doing two things. You're putting glue on the back of a label and putting it on a bottle.
Right.
You're also putting coating on another side of the bottle, neither of which has anything to do with the product that's being manufactured. The product being manufactured is beer.
Does saleability have anything to do with manufacturing?
Not with manufacturing. I would say that perhaps you want to put certain advertising material on the package. It certainly is going to make it more marketable. Lockheed accepted that fact. Lockheed said, sure, this information, putting information onto a package, is certainly going to affect its marketability.
But the package.
It's not part of the package.
The bottle is not the package, though.
The bottle, I believe the bottle itself is the package.
Is the package.
Correct. But the package you treat a product after it's been put in a bottle or a container doesn't turn that bottle into anything other than what it always was. That is the package that contains the product.
It doesn't make any sense if it's the bottle we're concentrating on. What about the stuff that goes in the bottle? Shouldn't we be concentrating on that and the saleability of that product?
Well, the beer is always saleable
Yes.
Before it's put into the model of the tank and can. As they refer to in their diagram in the supplement.
So they don't have to put it in bottles, cans, or anything to sell it. They could sell it just from the keg, is that it?
You can buy it at a bar on grass, it pulls right out of the keg and put it in a glass.
Okay. So
you can buy it in a can, you can buy it in a bottle. You
so that's
buy
not.
Every type of packages, but you have to buy it in a package.
That's not a necessary thing then. You don't have to put it in a bottle or a can to sell it.
They sell it here in basically, as far as I understand, three forms. You can buy it in a bottle, you can buy it in a can, and you can throw it out of the bag.
That's as you understand it, huh?
That's
right. Yes,
we wouldn't know.
Never have any.
But the fact is that they manufacture beer, they package it in three forms. But each of those forms is the package in which the finished beer. Their diagram in the supplement page, supplement page 38-39, goes through the flow chart.
But each of those forms has to be identified before anybody. Who would buy a beer in any form?
Of course you want information on a package.
But how is it saleable if it's not identified?
Your Honor, I'm not suggesting.
It's
not saleable.
You said it's saleable. How is it saleable if it's not identified?
What I said was, it is the fact that something makes a product saleable doesn't mean that is part of the manufacturing process. That beer is perfectly saleable. It's saleable, but for somebody who's going to buy it wants to know what kind of beer is that. But the beer doesn't change.
Do you have any knowledge of when the beer goes into the can, when is the marketing on the can done? And is that
the marketing on the cans are an issue here, actually. You know,
I'm just trying to determine whether that would be part of packaging.
Are you talking about the coating?
The cans, what are we talking about? Budweiser, I'm sure that they all, when the beer is put in the can, the cans already say Budweiser.
My understanding is that those cans, the majority of them, are made by the Bitter Corporation of Panic, which is called Medicine Can Corporation. Those cans come in already manufactured, and we have a case where they call putting the information on the can as part of the printing process. Those cans come in as
and so then are they included the entire can in the process as part of the packaging?
I believe it wasn't the case, but cans have historically been treated as package and everything. And I suppose the purpose of those cans would be exempt from the tax provision.
So I understand your position. For example, the first changes to the beer for a more potent product now or mean. Which may be subject to recall because people didn't get all kinds of things you want to know from their front line or the process of identifying which batch or which plant was important or was it a dinner bell or what have you, machine you to apply that information to the package would be necessary.
That's correct, because they do not serve the essential function of the package as this court held in last night, which is to constrain the movement of the product.
Okay,
it doesn't do anything. Not at all. If the General Assembly intended for that type of activity to be exempt, they could easily supervise it.
Writing the tax code and deciding what's exempt from manufacturing. The General Assembly got that over there. Decision, every machine and every process that could possibly be invented and applied to manufacturing and packaging of the new tax code. So they got to think through all of those and define all of those, or else it's not exempt.
The most recent amendment to the packaging law was a huge effort from the Department of Taxation, the Ohio manufacturers, many industry groups that met for a long period of time. pored over all these issues and came up with the current law. And I point out that in the current law, 57.3901, which defines manufacturing operations, they wanted to make sure this was clear. The very last sentence, which is left out of Anheuser-Busch's proposed statute, it states, manufacturing operations does not include packaging. They want to make that clear. They want to distinguish those two activities. Anything that has to do with any aspect of packaging is exempt only if it's new. They decided that any question about whether any aspect of packaging operation would be exempt is to be dealt with solely under 57.3902.
So packaging is exempt, manufacturing is exempt.
Well, that's exactly
right. What's the difference between the two?
You have the packaging exemption is a much more narrow exemption. This board has dealt with packaging exemption on many occasions, and has pointed out, for instance, in Union Carbide and Ball Corporation, Ball Corporation dealt with a piece of equipment that forms the package. The court pronounced that's not the type of machinery and equipment that is exempt. The machinery equipment that is exempt is the machinery equipment that places the product in the package. A carbon forming package itself not to be exempt from Ball Corporation. That would be particularly applicable to the label. Placing the label on the product is not yet part of forming that product. So even if the label is part of the product, and the label itself is not taxable, the machinery that actually puts the label on the bottle would be machinery that forms the package. And if this were not the Ball Corporation, that type of machinery would not fall into the patent exemption.
Mr. Perrin, let me just see if I can see what the issue is here. I just want to make sure we know what it is. Don't we have before us the choice of following the precedent that was established in Loctite and the other cases in which we've said that packaging is the item, the material, the property that actually contains the cereal or the beer or whatever it is, and whatever manufacturer wants to put on that item is not exempt. It's the bottle, the box, the container, it is. But the machinery or equipment that's used to put something on that item is not taxable. It's taxable. So we have a choice. I mean, whether we want to follow the old case law or whether we want to expand and say that we don't agree with any law. That's the choice, isn't it?
Well, I think it's just a question.
Thank you, Mr. Perrin. You've used your time. Mr. Clevenger, you saved a little over 2 minutes of your time. Let me ask you if Anheuser-Busch here decided to, on the back side of the bottle, after they put the label on and did the coating, decided to put a label on that said, support the 2000 Olympics, and then had some stuff on it about how you could do that. Would that, the same piece of equipment we used to put that label on the bottle, what would the back side be? Would it affect it at all?
I think even under prior and post-manufacturing and tax exemption law, I totally hesitate to say we don't think that's what I would say, but that probably does not exempt the product, nor it doesn't make the mark of the product. It's quite different than placing on the container the label, which identifies what the product is as well.
Is the beer that comes out of a bottle, Anheuser-Busch bottle, different than the beer that comes out of a keg?
Well, the brewing process is a little bit different, yes. There are some who would say that there's a substantial difference in the taste between the two. And a person who comes out of it.
Is the pasteurization any different? Is it pasteurized in the bottle, whereas it is not in the keg?
It's not pasteurized in the keg. It is in the can in the bottle.
I assume that the kegs don't have the coating. I mean, they probably have coating of some sort to identify the keg, I would guess, but it would not have the label. Is that true? Or?
Well, the kegs do have some kind of identification on the authenticating what the contents are.
But this labeling machine would not be used to put a label on a keg, I assume.
No, the video game coders would only use to put down the keys in a bottle. which is over very briefly to address a couple of comments we made by Mr. Turner. In talking about what constitutes a product, and Mr. Turner's assertion is saying the bottle is a package. That is in direct conflict with what the tax commissioner said when the packaging exemption was sent back in 1981. That statement, I'm going to read it, but it's in the appendix of page 4 of my reply. There, the tax commissioner said a container like that is part of manufacturing and is not a package for purposes of determining whether or not you must pay tax on it because the packaging exemption was suspended. The lot type decision is completely different in fact in this case. Lot type made adhesive, and the adhesive they put in a tube. There was never any question about that. The color of separations and the full moon and the other artwork that Loctite was subject to tax on was then used in making a package into which the tube of adhesive was placed. So the tube of adhesive in Loctite is comparable to the bottle of beer in this case. The fact that Loctite was just absolutely irrelevant to the determination of the packaging which
as I recall Loctite, I may be wrong, but as I recall Loctite, the argument was that the package, you're correct, certainly, the package is what helps us market. It's on a shelf and has a nice, fancy package that's usually hard to get into, but the package helps us sell. I think that was the argument. Well, it's more marketable because of the package. Isn't that the same? That's the argument.
I believe that's correct. In my analogy, the Loctite would be, if you take six bottles of beer and put them in a six pack, and you have a little container, and that has advertising or the identification of the product in that, that's the package. The bottle is not the package. The bottle is the product. And that would be the correct analysis between the Loctite and the package.
Is the keg the product then for keg beer?
Yeah.
Also?
Yeah.
And the can, obviously, you'd argue.
Yeah. I know that my time is running out, but the cases that have been decided by this court in Hawthorne General Mills talk about what is the tangible personal property being produced for sale. In Hawthorne, the court said carton mill. There was no question it was a package, it was a carton mill. In the General Mills case, it was a box of cereal. Both of those cases dealt with packaging exemption, and both of those cases dealt with subsequent places into other containers. So there was never any question about what is the tangible personal property or the marketable product that was being produced by those two particular taxpayers. And with respect to this, I believe the same situation is present in this appeal, and that is that the marketable product being produced is a properly labeled and identified bottle of beverage, which happens to be beer, of course.
It's used your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.